A Napa guy knows the only way you'd give a freshly minted driver a brand new car is if he promises to never drive it. Instead, let him grind the gears and knock over the neighbor's mailbox in something a little more suited to his skill level. And with over 400,000 parts and a little Napa know-how, he can safely drive something that's nearly as old as he is. It's not perfect, but it's perfect for him. That's Napa know-how.
Blog Talk Radio.
Love that song. I'm every woman, we're every woman. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, Ms. Shaka. I want to thank everyone for tuning into Women Are Worthy, and I also want to thank you guys for supporting us on social media, on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, everything. And if you have not subscribed, followed, or liked Women Are Worthy, we are Women Are Worthy on Instagram and Facebook. On Twitter, we are Women_Are_Worthy. Tonight, we have the pleasure of speaking with Ms. Sierra Sherrod. Sierra Sherrod, she's a financial educator, and we'll be discussing the increasing, how people are not financially savvy. And what I love about this young lady, she's decided to do work in this field where she's educating people. And what she wants to do is we're going to be discussing the increasing financial confidence to professional women struggling with college student with their debt. So basically, a part of her portfolio, she wants to help the college degreed graduate, obviously, on how to take control of their student debt. And I want to read some statistics here, or rather one. According to the data from the U.S. News, with 17% of borrowers behind in their payments or in default in their nation, $1.2 trillion, yes, trillion with a T, in college loans. Now, it's not surprising that this is one of the things that the people who are running for, you know, president, you know, the political office, that they're talking about in the 2016 election. So without further ado, I want to welcome Ms. Sierra Sherrod. Hello, Sierra. How are you?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great, honey. I'm doing great. I want to thank you for being on the show.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. It's an honor.
Well, we like women like you because we created this for a platform to amplify the voices of women who wouldn't necessarily be heard. And I found you on social media, and you're doing some phenomenal things. And we want to share with everyone what you're doing because you're trying to create a movement where people are going to be financially and fiscally savvy. And for that, we want to thank you.
Yeah,
now,
no problem.
When I mentioned you were going to be on the show, Sierra, I got a lot of positive feedback. So I want to get right into the conversation. Are you ready?
Yeah, let's have at it.
Okay. Sure. Okay. Please explain your services and exactly what is it that you do for those that are just tuning in right now. Who are you and what do you do?
Well, I'm actually a financial coach, and a lot of what I do is purely education. The biggest problem people have when it comes to finances is the borderline problem is that they're just not educated on how money works. They're not educated on how the money game is supposed to be played because everybody is playing the game. They're just not playing to win. So what I actually teach them is what the actual title of the show is the seven deadly sins of money. And that's the seven things that's going to get away of anybody having financial peace of mind. And how we do that is we help them out of debt, of course. We help them save in vehicles where they won't lose. We help them basically get a nice return on their money. That way their money is working for them while they're working for the money, if that makes sense.
That makes a lot of sense. So, Sierra, what made you decide to do this? What made you decide to become a financial educator?
That's actually a really good question. For myself, I actually went to college for biology. I wanted to be an OBGYN and deliver babies. And I graduated with my bachelor's in biology, and the year after I graduated, I couldn't find a job in my field. And I didn't have a basketball scholarship to go get my master's, so I was kind of just stuck in a rut. And that one year after I graduated college, I found myself in a deep depression over my finances, and student loans had a lot to do with that. What we're finding is that we're going to school because we were told to go to school, get good grades, and come out and get a job, but nobody tells you what to do after you graduate and you can't find a job, right? So the market isn't really demanding for what our degrees are in. And once I actually fell into my depression over student loans, I actually seeked help for it. And I came across the company that I actually work for now, and I had about $36,000 in student loans. And when I qualified for the program, they cut my student loans in half. So I had $18,000 right off the bat, and they took my $400 payment and turned it into $78,000. So that was just a stress reliever on my part. And me being the person I am, I started asking questions and getting in front of the right people, and I just eventually got licensed and started working with the company because depression is not something that you can take lightly. And I feel like if I can help anybody out of their depression, and especially if it's over money, which is sad if you're depressed over money, I feel like that's a big deal, and I can stand behind that all day, every day.
You know, I want to thank you for sharing that because you're so right, because so often, and that's the number one killer of marriages. Other than communication, it's money. And to see that you fell into depression, what was the turning point when you realized you were depressed? What was the turning point for you to go out and seek help?
Honestly, it was when I would cry myself to sleep. Because one of my big dreams, even before I went to college, was to always take care of my parents. And once I graduated, I had all that debt, and I had a job that was only paying me $9 an hour. And I was like, this cannot be life. I screwed up. I put my family in a worse situation than what we were originally were in. So that's when I just knew I was depressed and something had to give.
If you can go back, Sierra, and talk to your younger self while this was going on, what would you tell yourself, the younger Sierra?
What I would tell her would be follow your own mind. I went to college because everybody else was going to college, and I felt like that was the right path to go. And I knew that I wanted to do something big, but I just wasn't sure what it was. So if I was younger, I would just tell myself, do what your mind is telling you to do and don't go for a degree that you think everybody else wants you to go for. Does that make sense?
It does, and I want to ask you this question as well. For parents out there who are listening and telling their children, you're going to go to school, this is what you're going to major in, you're going to get a degree, what would you say to those parents who are listening?
I would tell those parents that they have to take into account that their kids is actually living in a different economic world than they were living in. Because you have to think, why were we told to go to school, get good grades, and get a good job? It's because back then there were actually pensions given out. So you would get a job,
right,
and you would and you work for them for so many years, and you would get a pension, and that pension would pay you for the rest of your life, which isn't a bad deal. That's really not. But their kids, my generation, we're in a world, economic world, where pensions are non-existent. So working for a job and having a 401k that's not going to give you anything, that's just setting yourself up for failure. So they have to take into account that since we live in a different economic world, we have to do things a little bit differently than what they did.
And you know what I've noticed, and you may too, I remember for me growing up, I'm older than you, but I remember growing up when you're talking to someone, hey, where do you work and how long you've been working there? Oh, 15 years, 20 years, 30 years, and I'm about to retire, and they're going to give me this for my retirement. I'm in Atlanta, and I can't tell you how often when I meet someone, oh, I've been working here 2 years, or I was just laid off, laid off, laid off, laid off. So you don't have the stability anymore, you know, because you knew that when you retired, you're going to have your pension, you're going to have this. Now you're at the point where, you know what, you're not valuable. You're not of value anymore because basically if you get sick or something happens, they're going to hire someone to come in and they're going to hire someone at a less money than you were making. So there isn't any stability with the pensions and the 401. So now, unfortunately, and I think you can agree with this, we have to create our own financial independence and be financially or fiscally savvy. So you can't sit down and wait on the pension and you're saying you're going to get Social Security. Those days are gone. So you have to create that type of wealth for yourself. Do you agree with that?
Yes, absolutely. I feel like if you're depending on a W-2 and depending on the government to take care of you, you are dependent to fail. So absolutely, you have to create your own economic culture.
And see, tonight's show, I'm taking off the gloves because we're going to have to keep it real. I mean, we always keep it real, but, you know, you're new to the show. Look, I'm sick and tired of the bling bling, the red bottom shoes. Not for me personally. No, come on now. Let's keep it real because let's unbutton the button on the top and let's keep it real. This is a real show, okay? The issue that I have, you watch television, you didn't know I was going to go there, did you? Did you? Uh-huh. You know, when you're watching television and they make things so, it's almost like, you know, I want to do what the other person's doing or I want to wear what they're wearing. And you see everyone's blinged out now, who has the best car, who's wearing the best designer shoes and clothes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. How do you, because if you're educating these students or you're educating anyone, how do you then get them to flip the switch to realize, you know what, you can't go out and buy these kind of clothes anymore. You need to worry about tomorrow, not worry about, you know, today. And we are living in that, you know, we're living in the microwavable society. You know what I'm saying? That kind of a world where how do you get that person to switch? That thinking?
That's a really good question. That's a really good question. What I like to tell people is that consumerism is one thing that causes people to go into financial uncertainty. And we actually have to learn to not buy to get, but to buy to earn, if that makes sense.
Repeat it again.
We have to learn to not to buy to get, but to buy to earn. So what that means is we have to start teaching our kids. It's starting from the kids. And if we teach the kids how to properly manage their money and invest their money in certain vehicles that's going to pay them forward, that's where it starts. And a lot of times social media and television sets us up for failure. If you ever noticed, if you actually watch sports like basketball and football, the commercials that come on between those are always consumerism commercials for like fast food, shoes, anything that costs money to, I guess, get. If you watch sports like golf and tennis, the commercials that come on between those are more of like financial savvy commercials, insurance companies, investment companies, things like that. So a lot of it is about what you watch and what you're feeding your mind into. Does that make sense?
So what I'm hearing for me is African-American sports basketball that are dominated. We're trained, because if you're not really paying attention, because I never thought about that. So that was a great observation. What they're doing is they're directing us to buy the sneakers, to buy this, to buy that. You don't see a lot of Merrill Lynch and all those power brokers, you know, homes telling you or houses telling you you need to invest, or E.F. Hutton. But when you're watching golf and tennis, it's more directing people to, okay, you need to invest. I didn't think about that. That's a great observation, Miss Sierra Sherrod. Great observation. But I guess that's why you're the financial educator, and you're educating myself as well. So now you brought up a good point when you were talking about sports. Now, the issue I have with sports is, you know, not everyone's going to be LeBron James. So with that said, what advice would you give someone who's recently come into a large amount of money? Because you get these guys who are from, you know, a background where they're not used to, you know, they're in poverty, let's face it. And now they're signing million-dollar contracts. And 5-10 years after retirement, they're broke because they bought, you know, the Bentley, the Maybachs, and all that kind of stuff. So what would you tell someone that just hit the lotto and they, you know, call your office and they're sitting in front of you? What would you tell them?
For somebody who isn't really used to having a lot of money and just happened to come across it, it's very important to sit down with a financial consultant. And when we run into those clients, we actually sit down and we go over the foundation of their financial home. So a lot of people have their financial home upside down, and what we'll actually teach them is where to place the majority of that money. That way they don't have to worry about any losses. The money will actually keep growing for them, and the money can keep coming in at a monthly income. So it's different vehicles you can actually do that in, and we teach them a muscle to keep funding an emergency fund, because that's always important. You never want to go into credit card debt or deplete, like, your retirement savings because you don't have an emergency fund. So it's numerous things that goes into your financial foundation, but we'll definitely get their money in a safe vehicle where they'll actually help it keep growing. That way they don't go broke.
For those of you tuning in, we have Miss Sierra Sherrod. She's a financial educator, and this lady is powerful. Okay, towards the end of the show, we're going to tell you how to get in contact with her. She's wonderful. She's a beautiful spirit, and more importantly, she's an educated person, and she is educating us on where to put our money and how to put our money, okay? Sierra, what's the difference between generational wealth and being rich?
Nice question. I'm glad you brought that up.
Thank you.
Nice. being rich versus generational wealth is, I feel like there's two different things, because being rich is very unlikely to happen within one lifetime. So being a LeBron James, that's very unlikely for somebody actually to become him, or being a Jay-Z, very unlikely for somebody to become him and have this kind of network. But generational wealth is actually the most common way to gain wealth. And it's very hard for the minority community to actually grasp that concept, because the minority community is very consumed with consumerism, and they want to have all the wealth. They don't really worry about the next generation, if that makes sense. So it's two different things, because it's unlikely for somebody to become just rich in one lifetime. And the majority of people who actually have wealth is the ones who actually create generational wealth.
See, I think, because for me, it's like a me society. You know, back in the day when, you know, your parents left an inheritance for you. And I'm finding more and more people are not taking out life insurance. They're not taking out the proper insurance for their, you know, whether it's for their babies or children. And then when things happen, and I'm sure you see it, the GoFundMe account pops up. What are your thoughts? What is your thoughts about that?
GoFundMe gets me all mixed up in my emotions. I get mad. I get sad. And I feel shameful because that's one person I didn't reach in time. So GoFundMe is basically an example of somebody not planning enough for themselves, not planning their financial future ahead of time. and basically leaving their family out for the wolves. That's how I see GoFundMe.
Wow. So, okay, let's say, because now you know we're at that generation where we're taking care of our parents. So what advice would you give someone who's never thought about doing anything for their parents because they think that their parents are set up? How would you instruct them or advise them to have that conversation with the parent? Because you know in the African-American community, because I can only speak for this community, sometimes having that conversation is so hard. We can talk about everything else, but we can't sit down and talk about that, you know? So what advice would you give someone on how to do that?
That's interesting because, I'm coming from the black world and everything, you really don't talk about money at the kitchen table. If you are talking about money, you're arguing about it. So I feel like it's just a matter of doing it. There's no easy way to do it, I don't say. So when you're going to bring it up, I know when we sit down with our clients, one thing we do bring up is how much money do they think they need for retirement. And once we actually show them the numbers of how much they actually need to have saved right now and how much money they need to save per month, and then we calculate inflation, which inflation increases 3.22% each year. And what does that mean? That means that every 22 years, the cost of living is going to double. So if somebody thinks they're going to retire at 65 off of a $500,000 worth of the dollar right now, they're actually going to be retiring at like half of that dollar amount. And that's not going to last at all. So when people see numbers about how much they need saved and how much money they need to be saving each month and how that dollar worth today is going to be minimal when they actually do retire, the world is actually crushed because they know they're not in position.
Wow.
So
right.
It's definitely a conversation you need to just go and have. It's not going to be a comfortable conversation at first, but after you have it, you're definitely going to be very, very happy that you had it because now you're actually in a position to start planning.
One of the issues that I have is, you know, especially people in a relationship before they get married, I don't understand how you can have a relationship and you guys are intimate in the relationship, but nobody mm-hmm. wants to talk about credit score. Nobody wants to talk about how much money you have. Who do you owe? What's going on? I told you. This whole conversation has me boiling. So forgive me if I'm a little if I sound like I'm just very passionate about this, that everyone, white, black,
right.
Asians, everyone needs to be educated. But I've noticed because I've had associates when I'm talking to them and they're dating someone and they're intimate, and later on they find out his credit score, or when they're about to get married or they do get married, his credit was tore from the floor up, and so or hers. So we're not going to discriminate here, or hers. And
mm-hmm.
this is a conversation you need to have. Why are people not having this conversation, but you can go ahead and be intimate with someone? Can you explain this to me? Not that you have any personal knowledge, but I mean from talking to people. What is going on here?
Right. You know what? I'm still trying to figure out that answer. I think a lot of people are just blinded by the superficialness of what comes wrong with the person, and nobody thinks about anything after that. They don't think about whether their genes are going to clash, if they're actually going to have a sickle cell baby if they lay down together. They don't think about anything worse of the aftermath of anything. So, yeah, that's a good point to bring up. I wish I had an answer.
Because I asked, and they told, you know, a couple of people, and they're like, well, that's just too, you know, personal. I'm like, personal? But you're laying down in the bed with them. What do you mean that's personal? I have a low tolerance for stuff like that, okay? So that's my flaw. That's one of my flaws. My tolerance is very low with that. So what is your take on prenuptials?
Ah. What is my personal take on that?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm all the way for it. I'm 100% for prenups. Absolutely.
So do you advise your clients when they're let's say you have a client who's fiscally savvy, but they're about to get married, and now they're going to come to you and say, hey, I want to invest some money here, and I'm about to get married. Do you bring up the prenup to them?
I actually don't, and I think prenups is more of like a personal choice. I can advise somebody all day of how to manage their finances, but I can't advise somebody to keep their finances from their spouse, you know? So that's more of a personal thing from my perspective.
Okay. Now, be honest. Do you think that society is doing a poor job in educating our young regarding how to make good, sound financial choices?
Yes. I don't know about you, but all I remember when I was in high school was I was being taught how to spend money, not save it, not get a rate of return on it. I didn't even know what a rate of return meant. I didn't know anything. I didn't know that credit cards have a high percentage rate. I didn't know what interest was. I was not taught anything about money in school. So they definitely set us up for failure. Absolutely.
So what are you doing in your community to help this? Since we both can agree that society is doing a poor job, and, you know, everyone can say, oh, they can Google it. But you know what? If you know what needs to be done, I think you need to be the example and taking it back to the community. What are you doing to show the young girls or men on how to be fiscally savvy?
It's actually one of my favorite things that I do. I know the office out here, we're huge in the community. We actually go out to churches and teach the 7 deadly sins of money. We actually go out to community events and grand openings for businesses. We go out to the Boys and Girls Club. We do a lot of community events and family-oriented things. We actually go to family homes as well, and we teach the 7 deadly sins of money. And like I said, we have to start from the ground up, from the kids on to the parents. And if nobody takes their time to sit down and tell somebody what can actually get in the way of them having financial peace of mind, then it's just going to continue to be a cycle. So we definitely go out there and spread the word.
Sierra, for those tuning in, can you please tell us what is, you said there's the 7 deadly sins of money. What are the 7 deadly sins?
The 7 deadly sins are, 1 is debt, 2 is inflation, and 3 is losses, 4 is health care, 5 is linear income, and 6 is procrastination, and 7 is low income.
Low income. Okay, you mentioned healthcare, and that's big on my list because that's my background in my former life. What do you say to someone who says, because now we have the Obamacare, you know what, I'd rather just get the fine. I don't want to pay for it. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. That's just the government trying to get money from me. This is our chance, you and I. I'm asking you this question as a, you know, this is your feel. What would you say to people like that?
People who don't want to pay for healthcare?
Yes, ma'am, who don't want to participate in the Obamacare because they feel like it's a ripoff, I don't need to be doing this, and I'm just not going to be a part of this.
Well, my take is everything with the government can be looked at that way. Nobody's going to be happy about every little thing. Just like us with Social Security, we pay it. Are we going to see it? Most likely not. So it's just one of those things that comes with being in part of a democracy. You win some, you lose some. That's my take on it.
And see, for me, I have my take is, okay, we know healthcare, you can go bankrupt. Just one illness, okay, one catastrophic illness, you can lose your house, you can lose everything. And because of Obamacare, in the past, if you had a pre-existing, because I do like a couple of things from the Obamacare. One, you know, if you have pre-existing, you know, it covers that. And two, if your child, I think if your child is in school up until they're 21 or 26 or something, it will, you know, mm-hmm. you can go under your parents', you know, health insurance. So I do like that. But, you know, right now, everywhere you turn around, people are getting sick. People who don't have the traits of, let's say, cancer running in their family, they're getting that. So I do think that you have to take precaution. So if you're not working in a traditional company or if you're an entrepreneur, you need to get some sort of insurance. I mean, that's just my take on it. But, mm-hmm. you know, I'm just so fed up when I hear people talk about I'm not going to get any insurance, I don't want to do this. Sierra, how can someone get in contact with you if they need to get in contact with you? Let's get all your information.
Yeah, they can actually email me at sierra.sherrod@yahoo.com, and they can also follow me on Facebook, www.facebook.com/SierraSherrod. Instagram is Sierra_Sherrod, and Twitter is the same thing, Sierra_Sherrod, and Snapchat is Sierra-Sherrod. So anybody with questions or need advice or just want some help, you can definitely reach me on any of those platforms. Email being
the best. And for those tuning in, we have Ms. Sierra Sherrod. She's a financial educator, and her job is to educate people on how to be fiscally savvy, financially savvy, you know, to make their money work for them, not them work for the money. So, again, you meet someone, they're telling you they can't afford a financial consultant, they think it's a waste of time, they're telling you they live from paycheck to paycheck. How do you get, you know, that set of people to unlearn and to change their behavior pattern, their thinking pattern?
Good question. Although we want to help everyone, we can't help everyone. But one thing at our office is we don't charge our clients to sit down. We actually have complimentary consultations, so we don't charge anyone right off back because our mission as an office is to actually help save middle-class America, because middle-class America is actually dwindling down 1.4% every year, which doesn't sound like a lot, but that's millions of people falling out of middle-class America. And when you think about it, where do you think they're going? Upper class, upper middle class, or down the poverty area? More than likely the poverty area. So, yeah. Usually people in our industry, they won't even sit down with people unless they have $250,000 and up. So the market that we actually work with and help are the people who don't have money to actually pay for a consultant. That's why we don't charge.
So listening to someone, and they, you know, that same person is listening to what you're saying, and, you know, they're in front of you, and they're like, okay, what small changes can they make, if you can just list two? What small changes they can make? Because you can give them everything, and they won't absorb it, you know, at once. It just seems like too much. Oh, my God, oh, my God. So what two things could you tell them that they can start on the road of being fiscally savvy?
The two biggest things they can do for themselves is find a way to lower their taxes, and being that way with taxes, the only way you can actually get taxes lowered and tax incentives is by becoming an entrepreneur. So find a way to lower your taxes and as well as gain a savings muscle, because no matter how much money you spend, as long as you spend that much money, you're always going to be broke. So learn how to save.
So you're telling the 9-to-5ers, because they're spending so – they're basically giving Uncle Sam their money, that they themselves, not just working on a 9-to-5, because, you know, you can come in today and your boss is like, I don't like you, you need to leave, goodbye, it was nice working with you, that they need to figure out a way – and actually to actually become an entrepreneur, and that would possibly lower their – not possibly because you're saying it – that will lower their taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Now, President Obama, as you and I both know, is leaving office this year. So if his administration called your office and they told you, Sarah, we're going to grant you two wishes. They're going to become a bill, and we're sure, we're positive, it's then going to become a law. What two items, oh, you know what, I'm going to give you three. What three items in the financial area you'd like to see as a bill?
I'm sorry, say that one more time for me.
Sure, sure. The Obama administration calls you tomorrow morning and tells you that they're going to give you three, they're going to grant three of your wishes. They're going to turn those wishes into a bill. In other words, it's going to be a law, because once it becomes a bill, Obama's going to pass
right.
it, and it's going to be a law. So they're coming
right.
to you. You're the Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett said, you know what, call this lady. I've been following her, and she's doing some great stuff. Go and ask her what she would like, you know, in the financial area to turn into a bill.
Ah,
what injustice
question.
Are you seeing? What injustice are you seeing, or that you struggled with, or something that's very common that you would like to see this changed? Two things, two or three things that you'd like to change, and it would no longer be a problem anymore.
Ah, good question. Three things. I would like to be able to give my clients a rate of return higher than 10%, because if somebody finds that, please let me know. another thing I would like to do is obviously be able to wash all of their debt away every time I sit down with a client. Sometimes we can do that for, but not all of them. And another thing I would like to see is, I would like to see a way where, I would have to say a way to actually give my clients a more profound way to actually, I guess, protect them from the healthcare causes. And that's more of like an illustration thing.
Okay.
Protection from healthcare.
I like those three things. Sierra, who's your financial guru? Who do you like that's out there?
I like Matthew Cipolla. He's actually been in the financial industry for about 20 years. Great guy. I actually get mentored by him. Another person I actually like is Mark Cuban.
Okay.
He's pretty
yeah.
great.
And
I like Grant Cardone, actually.
Okay, so you said Matthew Cipolla, Mark Cuban, and who's the other one, Greg?
Oh, Grant Cardone.
Grant, okay. I didn't hear any women on that list.
Ah, you didn't. You didn't.
Are you going to say Susie Orman or something? I'm just busting your chops. No, I'm just busting your chops. You are entitled to like who you want. I'm just busting your chops. The fact that you said Mark Cuban, because I love him, and I love Warren Buffett. I like Mark Cuban because he's so controversial. He's very smart, but there are some that are not listening to how smart he is because he's so controversial and things that comes out of his mouth that people are not paying attention to it. But he's really a smart cookie, and Warren Buffett, I've always liked that man. So, great choices. I don't know who the last one was, but the other two I do know. Now, what financial book, if we were to go to your house, what financial book is your favorite book that you have in the house right now?
My favorite book would actually be The Five Temptations of CEO, and that's not geared towards finances. That's more of a mentality book.
Uh-huh.
And then the
uh-huh.
other one is How to Lower Your Taxes, simply put.
Okay. So what magazines should people, you know, for me, what magazines do you think I should subscribe to, or what one book would you suggest that I should get in order to, because I know we have to get our mind right, but let's say my mind is right. What book would you say is like the secret? You know the book that's out there, The Secret, but it's like the secret for the financial world, for the regular Joe Blow can read and understand.
A book? Or mm-hmm. a magazine, anything. A book where the average Joe will actually understand for finances. I believe Forbes is a pretty good self-explanatory magazine that I like a lot.
Okay.
Some things can get pretty intense, but Forbes is pretty good.
Now, what is your greatest accomplishment? I mean, how long have you been working in finances, working with people?
Within finances, since October 2015. So, yeah.
Okay. So my question to you is, thus far, what has been your greatest accomplishment that when you went to bed, you just felt good, you know, with a client, of course? What accomplishment have you had with a client that you're like, doggone it? You feel so good, that warm and fuzzy, if you can share that experience with us.
Yeah, I'm
nosy.
It would be
It would be who?
Two things that makes me feel really good going home and go to sleep.
Okay.
One is that I'm actually able to relieve people of their student loan debt. From me having to personally experience that, I know how big of a burden that can be on someone's shoulders. So to be able to do that for people is phenomenal. And another one that I really love doing is actually protecting the family from the winds of life. So when I sit down with a client and he actually cries because he actually just lost a friend who was 44 years old to a sickness, and his family had to go scrape for money to have a chance to bury him, and to be able to protect him and his family from those things, that actually makes me feel really good, just protecting another family from financial ruin. That's pretty good.
So when you did that, what was the experience? What was that experience like when you did that? Like, can you walk us through it? Like, because, see, I want to walk through that because I want to see, what you know, just kind of envision what that was like.
You just sit down, you start building rapport with the client, find out what kind of person they are, what they care about out of life, and they tell you about what worries them with their finances, and once we started to talk, the guy was actually a friend of my family, and we were already close, so we lost the same friend, and once we started talking about it and how it happened and seeing them actually go through it, he actually just started tearing up, and then that actually, you know, when you see somebody cry, you want to cry. So it gets that much more intense. So the fact that you actually have an answer to that worry means everything. Because people will sit here all day with financial uncertainties, with financial burdens, and not have an answer to it. And for me to have that answer, it means a lot.
Wow, that's so. Do you have your friends now hitting you up and saying, "Hey, I need you to take a look at this. You know, I need you." So, are you getting a lot of your friends coming to you for advice because now they know what you're doing and what you've gone through?
Some friends. More strangers than anything. More strangers than anything. Absolutely.
What's your ideal client? What does that look like for you? An ideal client.
My ideal client is somebody who is forward-thinking, who can see past today, and wants to actually learn more, young, and wants to be proactive about their financial future. That's my ideal client.
What advice would you give someone who's listening right now and they said, you know, they're thinking, you know what, I need to spend this money or I need to save this money? What would you tell that person?
Because, again, we have so many people out here because you see it because this is your industry, that people are just living paycheck to paycheck to paycheck to paycheck. Because I just had someone just hop on listening to the show, and they want me to have you repeat that. You mentioned it earlier. But, and I need to hit them up and find out, wait a minute, you got some money? Wait a minute. So they want to know, what should they do? And with that said, how do you know, okay, because of the whole Bernie Madoff, you have some people that still want to put their money under the mattress because they don't know who to trust. They don't know if they can trust their financial advisor, much less, you know, someone that's referred to them. So how do you change that mind thinking as well?
I'm sorry, you were going in and out during that part.
Sure. How do you change someone's mindset from not wanting to go to a financial advisor, an educator, a consultant because of the whole Bernie Madoff? Because you're hearing CEOs, CFOs are running away and stealing pensions, and the biggest person who actually did that was Bernie Madoff. So what is your comeback to someone who says, you guys are all thieves, I'm not going to do anything, you're not going to invest my money, you're not going to tell me how to do with whatever I need my money to be invested in or saved? What's your comeback answer to someone like that?
My comeback for that would just be simply have a product that you own. You don't own your pension. That's your employer's product. You don't own your 401k. That's your employer's product until you actually walk away from the company. So have a product that you actually own. You can actually put your money into, and at the same time put in a vehicle that's actually going to give you compound interest. And your money isn't going to get compound interest under the mattress. Does that make sense?
Honey, I love compound interest. I sure do. I love that word. It just rolls off your tongue. I love it.
I know that's right.
Where do you see yourself 5 years from now?
5 years from now, I actually see myself traveling around the world, obviously educating, having a business that's actually running without me, and I actually want to own a non-kill animal shelter. Besides from finance, one of my true passions is actually animals. I'm a huge animal lover. When I see the abused puppies on Facebook, I drop a tear. When I see the the Humane Society on TV, the commercials, I start crying. So I actually want to have a more of a presence within that culture with the animals, and actually just take in my financial education, not just in my community, but across the nation. That's what I want to do.
Okay. Sierra, can you give us some advice on those companies that are out there that I think are preying on people for, oh, you owe $50,000, you know, sign up with us, and we're a debt consolidation. Can you explain what is a debt consolidation and what is your opinion of those debt consolidations that are out there?
Debt consolidations just mean that they're taking all your debt and putting it in one bucket. That way you're not paying multiple companies different bills and paying multiple different interest rates. Because if you're paying multiple different interest rates, you're never going to catch up and actually put a dent into that principal. That's all debt consolidation is.
Do you think it's a waste of time to sign up for something like that? Because they also get a fee. And you may not be structured to do it yourself, to call all the credit card companies and figure out how to lower your balance. So do you think it's something that some people should do? Because you do have predatory ones that are out there. So I just want to know from a person who's educated in this field, what are your thoughts about these companies?
I do think that consolidation is very important to look into and actually partake in. But before you actually move forward with a debt consolidation company, you definitely should do your research. There are companies out there who can get you for your money. Unfortunately, I don't know any by name, but
right.
I know within our firm, we work with the top dogs in the industry, and I know Nationwide is a huge one that we work with, and Nationwide is an A-graded company. So if anybody who needs debt consolidation, look into the company, but if you need it, they can definitely reach out to me, and I can take care of them through Nationwide for sure.
And you said reach out to you, so can you please give your contact information again for those that have just tuned in? We have Ms. Sierra Sherrod. She's a financial educator.
Absolutely. They can email me at sierra.sherrod@yahoo.com. Follow me on Facebook and message me at www.facebook.com/Sierra Sherrod. Follow me or message me on Instagram at Sierra_Sherrod and Twitter, Sierra_Sherrod, and Snapchat, I'm Sierra-Sherrod.
Okay, Sierra, I just decided I found three financial planners that I want to use. I'm looking at all three. They're the finalists, okay? I interviewed 15. These three are my finalists. What should I look for in a financial planner or educator or coach or consultant?
Okay. Number one, which will be an old school one, is that they have some sort of integrity about them. You can tell that by just talking to someone most of the time. They have to have a source of integrity and make sure they know what they're talking about. If you sense anything that you don't feel very comfortable about, definitely ask a question. If they can give you a straightforward answer, then I recommend that you don't do business with them if they can't answer it straightforward. And make sure they're working with credible companies. Look at the companies and make sure you know your homework. Make sure they're A-graded companies. That's what I was saying.
So what licenses and certifications should that person have?
Depending on what the client is actually looking for, they may need a health and life license. They may need a security license. Me, I don't advocate for security licenses because that means you're placing your client in a position where they can actually lose money. Licenses just depends on what that certain client is actually looking for.
So they should. So you, what licenses did you say that you have? Is it health and life?
I do, yeah.
Okay, so with the health and life, how are you investing? Or how are you helping someone to become, to retire early or to be fiscally savvy?
Good question. What we actually do is educate our clients to actually place their money in vehicles where they actually won't lose money, where the money will actually outpace inflation, in a place where they can actually control their taxes and keep it away from Uncle Sam and Cousin Illinois or Cousin Wisconsin, something like that, and put in a place where they can actually access it whenever they want. So that's what we're actually able to do with our licenses.
Are you planning on, okay, so I know you're out there, you know, you're not in Atlanta. So are you doing any seminars? What do you have upcoming? Are you doing any seminars, personal or with the business that you're doing now? Is there anything that we need to be on the lookout for?
My office actually has two educational seminars a week. It depends which state you're in. I know out here in Wisconsin we have it on Tuesdays and Saturdays. Illinois, we have it on 3 days a week because we have multiple offices out there. We have it on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays where people can come in and learn more about their finances and actually be in a position to actually move forward that day to take action. And we do have a huge business owner event out in Chicago coming up on the 13th. If people actually follow me on Facebook, they'll actually see the flyer for that. And that's just giving business owners an opportunity to come out, tell us more about them so we can actually give out referrals because we're big on collaborations. And at the same time, it'll give business owners an opportunity to learn about their finances because what I'm finding is that business owners are much more in a crippled financial state than the average person because they have a lot more debt they're fighting off, a lot more expenses they're fighting off. They're not really understanding the different ways they can protect their money from taxes. So that's what they'll actually learn out there on the 13th.
So what? Okay, in this conversation, when you're working a 9-to-5, you should also think about having, you know, becoming an entrepreneur. But you have so many people, Sierra, that they're so used to being the worker bee that they're scared to be the queen bee, to run their own organization. And some people are not even meant to be a queen bee, you know, an entrepreneur or, you know, a king bee. They're not meant to do that. So to tell someone that you need to be an entrepreneur, are you giving them steps? Let's say, because I personally think if you're going to be an entrepreneur, do something you're passionate about that you're going to get paid for. Because once you do something that you're passionate about, it doesn't feel like work, you know, and you're going to love it. So how are you then guiding them and telling them or advising them that, hey, okay, this is what you need to do. You just don't go out and get a business license and then call yourself an entrepreneur. Are you then telling them or leading them to certain areas? Like, okay, you're going to get your business license or you're going to go take some classes on how to be an entrepreneur. Do you guys do that, give those kind of services or advice to the your clients as well?
Yeah, we actually do have leadership seminars where we actually teach finances and leadership things. We do teach people the different ways they can go into entrepreneurship and save more on their taxes for sure. Yeah, since that is a big part of actually being financially savvy, you want to definitely make sure Uncle Sam is getting as little as possible.
Oh man, Uncle Sam's probably listening on this call right now, honey. Because when you know that's the buzzword. That was the buzzword. Give Uncle Sam as little as possible. The buzzword just went off. Thanks very much, Sierra. I appreciate you having Uncle Popo listen to me. Okay, I appreciate that. But this has been so educational. And so, you know, I really welcome. I'm so glad that you decided to be a guest on the show. And you're just absolutely, you're a charming young lady. And I wish you nothing but the best. So I really, we're wrapping up the show now. And I want to thank you. Again, give out your contact information before we wrap up. Because this is Sierra Sherrod. She's a financial educator. She's a consultant. She does everything out there when it comes to money and how to save money. And as she said, she wants to make sure that you're not giving everything to Uncle Sam. You're giving him as little as possible. She didn't say you're not giving Uncle Sam nothing. That's not what she said or anything. She said as little as possible. So if you can, again, give out your contact information, please.
Yeah, for sure. You guys can reach me at sierra.sherrod@yahoo.com. Follow me on Facebook at www.facebook.com/Sierra Sherrod. Follow me on Instagram at Sierra_Sherrod, Twitter Sierra_Sherrod, and Snapchat Sierra-Sherrod.
Hold on, Sierra. I think you have a hello. Caller, you're calling
hello.
In. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Hello, caller. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm fine. We have 2 minutes left. You're calling in support of Sierra.
Yes, ma'am.
What would you like to say? We have 2 minutes. Can you make it brief, please?
Sure. I just wanted to say she's doing such a fabulous and fantastic job. I didn't know if you guys were still taking questions or not.
Well, we're not anymore because we're winding down. But what we're going to do is you can send us the question, and I'll definitely make sure that she answers the question, and I'll post the answers.
Okay, and I just wanted to say, like, she did a very well job, and everything that she was saying and educating us on, I found it to be very insightful, and she did such a great job, so thank you.
Aww. She did. I wrote some stuff down. She really did. She really did. So with that said, I want to thank you guys, and thank you, caller 1174, for calling in and, you know, giving that response regarding Sierra. Sierra, you've just been an amazing guest, and again, I wish you nothing but wealth, prosperity, generational wealth, okay? See, I caught on to the buzzwords. I was listening to
nice.
You. I was listening to you. So everyone, I wish you a good night, and for the listeners that I have out there, I have a special guest next week. Good night, everyone. Thank you for supporting our show. God bless.
Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Today, Bridget Griffin shared a video of her daily yoga routine, two self-help articles, and her new blog called Build Your Inner Bridge with Bridge. Girl, your sharing has turned into oversharing. No worries, Bridge. Geico has some info worth sharing with your 7 blog followers, like how you could save money on your car insurance, update your policy, and report a claim just by visiting geico.com. How's that for building your inner bridge? Bridge. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.